We use what we call our seeds to trees theory. The seeds to trees theory is once I get Mrs. Smith to come into my office because she found me, Mrs. Smith is not only coming in herself, she's bringing in Mr. Smith, the Smith children. Okay, Mrs. Jones just moved next door to Mrs. Smith. What's the first question you ask your neighbor? You know a good doctor, you know a good pediatrician for the kids, you know a good dentist. How did they build practices? They built practices by being nice to people. I sold four practices. I told all four people I sold my practices to, hey, you want to be successful in my practice? Treat everybody like they're your mother. Don't just sit back and wait till people come in. Do something proactive about it.
What if you could reclaim hours of free time each week, create legacy building wealth, and devote more energy to your passion projects without giving up on your career as a life-saving MD? Dr. Vikram Raya is a functional cardiologist, high-performance coach, and real estate expert. Is here to give you the tools, strategies, and solutions you need to transform your life, unlock your limitless potential, and achieve greatness, all while freeing up your precious time. Welcome to Limitless MD. Let's dive in.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Limitless MD. I'm your host, Vikram Ryan. Today we have a marketing expert, a dentist who knows how to scale, a person who can really add 6, 7, 8-figure revenue to your bottom line and really take your clinic to the next level. Dr. Joshua Jindia, who is a dentist based in the New Jersey area, New York area, and really went from scaling his own clinic to helping scale thousands of other doctors and dentists around the world. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So let's get into it. Let's ask the hard question first. I have one clinic. I'm a dentist, and I want to get to 5. What's holding me back?
One of the things that's holding you back is personally our education. Okay, so I know that we went to professional schools. The last thing anybody wanted to talk to you about was business. So again, we went to professional schools, never spoke about business, did our residencies and internships, never spoke about business. And then the geniuses that we are, we all went out and opened our practices without having any business acumen whatsoever. So we're very good at one thing and one thing only, which is treating our patients and taking care of them, both medically and if you're a dentist, dentists, we're great at that. We're terrific at patient care. We're wonderful, caring individuals. We're miserable business people. So one of the things we needed to develop really was business acumen, both in terms of marketing your practices and in terms of efficiencies, in terms of developing internal tools that will make your practices more efficient. So that's really what was our idea when we started this business, was to help people who are really uneducated in the business sphere to get them a little bit more educated so they can become more successful, drive revenues up their practices. And again, once they develop a model to go from, the one practice to the two practices, to the 5 practices, to the 7 practices, to the, starting DSOs if you're a dentist, or start going into corporate America world if you're a medical type of facility. And again, we have customers who have one practice that they're looking to grow. We have customers who have 20 practices that they're looking to grow.
A lot of models. Let me focus, Josh, on a couple of things. So I have one clinic. I have $1 million of revenue a year. I need to get to the point where I feel comfortable scaling to 5 clinics in the next 5 years. So outside of the business strategies, which, we can discuss offline or in another podcast, but more here on the marketing strategies, in my years of mentoring and coaching physicians and dentists, I've noticed there's 4 main constraints. Usually the first constraint is the mindset of the CEO. The second constraint is lead gen, or getting clients in the door or patients in the door. The third constraint is fulfillment or bandwidth capacity. And the last constraint is usually operations, logistics, or scaling strategy. So I would say at the beginning, when you're at a one clinic situation, most people are trying to get more people in the door, and lead generation is your expertise. So help me unlock that constraint for these guys.
Okay. So first thing we need to do is we need to get you visible. Okay. So again, if I move to a town and I type in, cardiologist in my town, dentist in my town, dermatologist in my town, whatever it may be, I need to get to the top page one with Google search. Because if you're not there, you're not going anywhere. No one's finding you. If you're not on top page one, you may as well be at the bottom of page 20 because no one's going there. The second thing you need to have to establish is an impeccable online reputation. Okay, because whether we like it or not, people are judging us by what's said about us online. Is that fair to a medical practice? No. Is it really representative of medical practice? No. Because who's generally writing these reviews online? People are angry for some reason or another. It generally has to do with money. Okay. However, I need to get you top of search. We need to get you wonderful reviews. We need to make sure that once those people make a phone call to the office, that the office staff makes that phone call a pleasant experience, and you turn that potential patient into a regular patient. We use what we call our seeds to trees theory. The seeds to trees theory is, once I get Mrs. Smith to come into my office because she found me, okay, Mrs. Smith is not only coming in herself, she's bringing in Mr. Smith, the Smith children. Okay, Mrs. Jones just moved next door to Mrs. Smith. What's the first question you ask your neighbor? You know a good doctor, you know a good pediatrician for the kids, you know a good dentist. So again, once I impressed Mrs. Smith, I got the Smith family in. Now she's also now referred to Mrs. Jones. So this is a long-term building process. However, this is how we build our practices exponentially, not arithmetically.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so it's page one Google. It's having stellar online reputation, online reviews. It's phenomenal customer service. Call it the Ritz-Carlton approach when the people phone in. And then it's building up the referral base, right? You bring one person in, wow them, impress them, then guess what? The next one comes in, the next one comes in. So great. So those are sort of the core four of an early outreach process to get people going. What's next, man?
So again, so just to expand it just a little bit. So I always say that 80% of your clientele, okay, so your patient base is still going to come from referral. Okay. So what digital marketing does is we drive that extra 20%, but the extra 20% isn't just that 20% because then they refer patients. So again, that's where we grow. Okay. Once we do that, okay, we've done that. We're ready to expand our horizons. We're getting people in. You want to expand your office practices. Then there are less search engine marketing tools. So then we're getting into things like social media, and we're getting into Google Ads, and we're getting into some of the products that Meta has, which are very, very impressive. And lately, we're getting into the latest revolution in terms of marketing is AI.
Okay.
So we have
the address. Everyone knows about social media. They may not be an expert at it, but at least they're familiar with it. Same thing with Google Ads and Meta Ads. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, AI. Because AI changes week to week now. We're recording this in August 2025. ChatGPT-5 just got released, just for reference points. Tell me about how your company, which has been around for almost 15 years, actually, right? 15 years, which one of the OGs in the space of at least physician marketing, and your company's the Doctor's Internet. Tell me how you guys have actually not been disrupted, but you are trying to disrupt with AI.
Okay, so let me explain first of all. I have a staff of over 60, okay? They're all 35-year-old geniuses, okay? I serve two purposes in my company. I'm the owner, but I'm also the test dummy, okay? So I'm the doctor that tests all this stuff on. We've developed our own proprietary AI. It's pretty unique out there. We've developed our own proprietary AI. And my proprietary AI is there to do analysis of Google's AI. So I'm going to try and keep this as simple as I can because that's how I understand it. We have meetings every Wednesday. They talk about the tech. It goes, my eyes glaze over. It goes way over my head. But let me just explain what Google is doing for the last 22 years and what it's doing now and how we have to adjust to it in terms of marketing. So Google, for the first 20 years of its life and its existence, was a listing company. Okay, so if I wanted to know all the cardiologists in Teaneck, New Jersey, I'd type in cardiologists in Teaneck, New Jersey, and it would give me a list of all the cardiologists in Teaneck. I want to know sock manufacturers in Birmingham, Alabama, I'd type in sock manufacturers in Birmingham, Alabama. I want to know people did tennis rackets in Indianapolis, Indiana. I type in tennis rackets in the Apple, and Google gave me a list. If I was doing good marketing, I was at the top of the list. I got to the top of page one. If I was doing miserable marketing, I was at the bottom of page 16. But Google was making a list. That was Google's reason for being. Google has changed its whole raison d'etre in the last year and a half involving AI. Why has it done that? Google knows that no one looks at newspapers anymore. No one reads the books anymore. No one looks at encyclopedias anymore. No one watches the news. Any piece of information that you want to get, be it what's the first battle in the Civil War, what's a good hair dye to use, how can I tie my shoelaces in a different fashion, you go into one place and one place only, and that's to your phone and looking it up and you go to Google. Google now wants to be the sole provider of information for anything that anybody types in. So it has become an AI creator of content. And what it wants to do is it wants to be the only place you ever go to find out anything. So anytime you're interested in anything, no matter what it may be, whatever sphere you're looking in, you're going to type it in Google. And Google wants you to spend all their time on Google. Why is Google doing that? Not because they want a better mankind's advancement, because they want you to spend more time on Google so they can charge more for advertising. So it's a money play. What Google has done now is they've become the content creator, but they're not creating their own content. What they're doing is they're looking for local, authoritative information They want to pull that authoritative information. They're going to call where they create that information from the expert. They're going to pull it from the expert. And if you've noticed, when you do searches now in Google, the first thing that pops up above Google Ads, above Google Places, above organic search is a thing called AI Overview. And what they're doing in this AI Overview is they're grabbing this local authoritative information and they're posting stuff for that like it's an encyclopedic entrance, that it's going to be expert information. And they're going to reward the person they got that from by putting their website higher in the search in an AI Overview section. So what we want to do with our AI is do an analysis of what Google's looking for, what people are typing in, the queries they're putting in Google. Once we do that, my AI is coming back to my team and saying, write content in the form of a project, which is going to answer Google's queries. Once we do that, we're hoping Google picks us up and identifies my customer as the expert, posts their stuff in AI, and drives them higher in search. So that's basically how AI works with marketing now.
Yeah, that's awesome. I want to make a comment on how I've noticed my own behaviors have changed. And maybe this is true for a lot of our listeners who are, you know, very advanced, either physicians, clinicians, entrepreneurs, and things like that. I stopped using Google altogether. Maybe I use Google Maps and YouTube, but I don't use the traditional Google search any longer. My first choice is chat, most likely. Sometimes I like Grok as well. I don't enjoy using Google anymore. I don't find it helpful. Even their AI Overview, I find watered down, and it's not robust enough. Now, I know they have Gemini and other things going on, and they have Veo and a few other, you know.
Park City, only they're really.
And things are changing, but at least my personal behavior and people in my company and people in, you know, like the 200 doctors I work with, that seems to be the trend. So I'm just curious. It seems like there's many pockets of AI all coexisting with different Correct. Strategies in place.
We have to work with that as well. Okay. So one of the things, again, we're priding ourselves on is we're getting high in Perplexity. We're getting high in Gemini. We're getting high in ChatGPT, because that's what people are doing their searches as well. So that's the next level. So as you say, listen, the same way, you know, Facebook was the only social media platform, you know, young people don't look at Facebook anymore. Google used to be the only source of information in terms of this stuff. People are going to stop looking in Google. They're going to stop for going to their preferred, you know, chatbots. And so therefore, my AI has to read the chatbots as well. And we're doing that as well. So we're trying to attack all of these chatbots.
Yeah.
When I say attack, I mean, provide the information that they're going to view, that yeah. they grab the information from as well.
But what I think I took away from the message from you're telling me is the old day of being on the top of the list is dead. Now you want to be a local authority that gets picked up by whatever AI intelligence out there and be featured. Is that correct?
Okay. So I think that's true, but I want to hedge my bets. Okay. Yeah. What do I mean by that? So basically, I think that's where, listen, as you said, this is a very interesting business because everything changes every day. Okay. So what I tell you, again, you said we're doing this in August 2025. This may be totally irrelevant in August 2026. Okay.
That's right.
The thing about this really interesting about my business is that we got to figure it out. So we have to figure out the changes. Okay. So I'm hedging my bets. So yeah, you know, 5 years ago, SEO was the key. I had to do all SEO. SEO was the, okay. I'm still hedging my bets, because what I'm doing when I write content now and I'm doing these projects for AI, I'm also optimizing them for SEO.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
So as I don't know where Google's going. Okay. And I don't know where ChatGPT is going. I don't know anything. So I'm optimizing for SEO.
Let's do this. I want to talk about a comment you made that I love. And you said, guys, it's great. Yes, 20% digital marketing. Yeah, we got it. But 80% of referrals. This is an untapped strategy that many doctors and dentists have not really fully fleshed out or taken advantage of. Not only are you a digital marketing expert and you've created such a dynamic company that leads the pack, but you've also practiced and you've scaled to 4 clinics. Tell me, in your marrying those two worlds, what are some basic 2, 3, 4 strategies that people can use right now to blow up their referrals?
Okay. So again, let's talk about where we are in America today with medicine and dentistry. And where we are in America with medicine and dentistry is a lot of corporate. Okay. And what a corporate is taking, listen, my father was a dentist. He graduated dental school in 1933, middle of the depression. Okay. Just so you get the idea. Okay. You were not allowed to advertise in New York State until the 1970s. All you could put out was your 3x5 little name tag. That was it. All right. It was illegal. They would take away your license. How did they build practices? They built practices by being nice to people. Okay. And treating people. I sold 4 practices. I told all 4 people I sold my practices to, hey, you want to be successful in my practice? treat everybody like they're your mother, okay? And that's how you are going to get new patients into your practice, okay? Every corporate entity out there is going to be interested. My brother's a cardiologist, okay? He works for Northwell, all right? My brother would have been a doctor if you paid him zero money, okay? My brother loves being a doctor. He loves treating people, okay? My brother used to spend over an hour doing an initial exam. And he was getting paid Medicare. Was he going to pay $52, whatever he's getting paid? That's the kind of person he was. He now went to Northwell, and basically everybody's, all he has to do now is get, you know, has to do number of procedures. Okay. People hate that. Okay. You want to differentiate yourself from everyone. Again, it's easiest, you know, to go concierge practice. Okay, fine. It's great to say. It's all about how you practice and how your staff treats your patients. People don't know if I'm a great dentist. Okay. Especially dentistry. I mean, cardiology may be a little bit different world. But people don't know if I'm a great dentist, okay? I'd like to think I was a good dentist, okay? I certainly wasn't the best dentist in the world. I wasn't the worst. But I'd like to think I was competent and good. But people didn't know that. You know what they knew when they walked out of my office? I treated them nicely and I cared about them, okay? Those are the differentiators here, my friends. And when we want to talk about making money and we want to talk about corporate entities and we want to talk about bottom lines, that's not how you build a practice. You build a practice by being nice to your patients.
That's awesome. So, guys, back to the original advice that you always knew before we even had this podcast. It's, you know, it's that sincere approach. It's that bedside manner. It's the empathy. It's the compassion. It's all the non-tangibles that make the differentiator. And if you do this over time, guess what? That kind of stuff compounds and your reputation gets out there. And the best reputation is word of mouth and viral. So that's how people will come to you. Is there anything you can layer on top of that with that great advice, Joshua?
Okay, so listen, I think it starts from moment one. And again, it starts from the original phone call. Okay, I can't tell you how many, you know, patients referred to a practice, they make a phone call and they start talking to machines, okay? And that's the first big downer, okay? So again, well, what I've done in terms of dealing with my customers is saying, hey, you know what? What's really, really critical, even if I'm the world's greatest marketer and I got to the top of page one, I helped you build a wonderful online reputation. If someone calls your office and that phone call is not a good experience, they're not making the appointment, all right? So again, I'm getting away from, okay, one of the advice I give to our doctors is getting away from this, yeah, you think it's a lot easier to do things in a machine? I hate talking to machines on the phone, okay? If someone picks up and they say, press one, press two, press three. I'm hanging up. Okay. I'm screaming at the machine. My wife thinks I'm a lunatic. I yell at these machines. Representative. She thinks I'm crazy. Okay. I can't take it. I know there are a lot of people like me. So what I advise, one of the things I do is I tell people, and again, if you're in the corporate world and you can't do that, if you're hospitalized, you think you can't do it. However, if you have to make these decisions, okay, have people talk to people. Go old school. Okay. I'm not an old school guy, obviously. I think that, you know, we have to do all the technology. But when it comes to customer service, I am old school, okay? I think that is a differentiator and that is a driver, okay? If you believe me, people used to, and people were getting away from, you know, in the 1950s, if you called somebody, they'd spend 10 minutes on the phone with you answering questions. Now nobody spends 30 seconds with you, but that's a differentiator. So yeah, I want to use all the high tech to drive you to make that phone call. But when you make that phone call, I want you to talk to a person who cares about you.
So
I don't want you pushing.
So human connection could be that competitive advantage that people have forgotten.
I think it's usually the competitor. I think this is what this entire generation has forgot about. And I think speaking to people I know do this, this is how you drive new patients to your practices. Then you want to grow five practices. You want to get, you know, listen, you're competing against, let's say, the world of dentistry. You're competing against Aspen Dental. Okay. Aspen Dental is a corporate entity that couldn't care less about any particular patient. Okay. You're going to get on the phone and you're going to talk basically, even if you talk to a person, it's going to be like talking to a machine. Right. That's not what people want. Okay. It's not what people want at all. Okay. And especially, listen, that's dentistry. Dentistry is easy. You're talking about cardiology. You're talking about, you know, your life threatening stuff. People don't want to be spoken to like they're a machine or a number or a patient number. That's the worst thing you can do. Okay. If you convince, as a cardiologist, if you convince your patient that, you know what, I really care about you, you call me whenever you need. If you have any problems at all, I want to know about it. You call my staff, you call me, we'll take care of it. We're on top of it. That's a patient for life. And that's a patient who's referring 20 other patients to your practice. If they're talking to machines, they couldn't care less about you and you become a corporate entity. And that's how you're not going to get new patients in your practice. So when it comes to the tech, cutting edge. When it comes to the customer service, old school.
I like that. Oh, wow. So say that again, man. That was a good statement.
When it comes to the tech, cutting edge. When it comes to customer service, old school customer service.
So yeah, it's like the way an analogy could be this, like, you know, you go to a hotel, it could be all ritzy and fancy and nice and high tech, but if the people still talk to you sweetly and kindly and you get that Ritz-Carlton Four Seasons service, it's the best of both worlds. And so
and by the way, as a customer of that hotel, you're going to now tell all your friends about how wonderful the care is at that hotel.
Yes, yes.
And the opposite is true, okay? So if someone, you get treated like you walk in, they say, give me your card number. What's your number? Give me a credit card.
Okay.
That's not customer service.
So Josh, tell me about the top three common mistakes people make in marketing. Like they've invested with an agency, they're paying $5,000 a month. They maybe have another $5,000 of ad spend and they've done all the referral stuff. They've done all old school. So they're getting some referrals, are doing great, but they want it, you know, they want to notch it up another level. Tell me about the mistakes that you've seen a lot of doctors make and dentists make.
Okay. So here's the deal. Okay. Basically, again, since we discussed this a little offline, basically, when we went to school, we went to professional school, we learned nothing about business, okay? And we did our residencies, we learned nothing about business. And then immediately we opened up our practices. We know nothing about business. What we do know is how to treat patients, and we're very good at it, okay? We're tremendous healthcare professionals. We treat our patients, you know, we take care of their healthcare needs. We do it. However, okay, we don't take the time to learn about business. We don't take the time to learn about growing our businesses. And basically, we do what we're told to do. So if someone says to you, oh yeah, you need to do you need to do a website and then you need to do some marketing with it. I said, okay, I'll find an agency, I'll hire them, and then I don't follow up ever. Okay, I have no idea what's going on. Maybe I'll meet with them once every 3 to 4 months. They'll throw some statistics at me, which I don't understand because they're going to talk Googleese to me. My eyes will glaze over. I'll get, okay, that's fine. And I don't think about it. Okay. That's not how you have to do this. Okay. If you are doing everything you need to do in terms of marketing needs to be tracked. Okay. And the more connection you have, that's another thing since when we started our company, one of the big separators between our company and others in terms of old school customer service from my end, okay, I'm not talking about the patient, I'm talking about marketing to the doctors, is I tell when you sign up with my company, for argument's sake, you have a dedicated marketing rep, which means you speak to one person in my office all the time. And they're my most valuable employees, but I tell my doctors, listen, I don't want you to think of them as my employees, I want you to think of them as yours. They work for you 365, 24/7. You have their cell phone numbers, you can text them, call them, email them. However, another big difference, and this is really important, even if you got that from another company, is that most other companies, they sign a contract with you, trust me when I tell you this, marketing companies, they sign a contract with you, the less they hear from you, the happier they are. We're the exact opposite. So I tell my doctors, listen, if you want me to be, and I yell at them, okay? And it was one of the advantages I have is I can yell at doctors because it's peer-to-peer. So I'm not, you know, it's not like a marketing person. Yes, doctor, I yell at them. I scream at them. You're doing this all wrong. Okay, this isn't the way you have to do this. What are you doing? So I say to them, listen, if you want me to be successful, the more my team knows about you, the more they know about your team, the more they know about your practice, the more about the services that you are doing, the more successful we are going to be. And not only do you want to be reactive in terms of marketing, you have to be very proactive in terms of marketing. You have to sit down with your marketing team and say, this is what I want to get out there. Okay? All right. Let's say you're a dermatologist and you do a bunch of Botox stuff. You're doing something. So you know what? Great. It's coming up in the summertime. Let's run, you know, people want to get out to be, want to look good. So let's run, my marketing rep will say, let's run a special. Well, let's put some pop-up on your website. Well, let's send out an email blast to your patients. I'll give you some dental stuff for argument's sake. So let's say that there's a tooth whitening material that you found and you love it. It's great. And your hygienist is selling it. She's selling it, you know, like hotcakes. She loves it. Don't just sit back and wait till people come in. Do something proactive about it. So if my marketing rep knows that this is something which has been good for you and that your hygienist is great at selling it, my marketing rep will say to the doctor, hey, you know what? Mother's Day is coming up in May. In April, let's run a tooth whitening campaign. So we'll put a pop-up on the website. We'll send out an email blast to your existing customers. Say, hey, moms, tooth whitening special for moms for Mother's Day. The kids are going back to school. They're getting into summertime now. A lot of kids coming in, whether it's a doctor or a dentist, going in for their preschool checkups. All right, let's do something special for the kids. All right, run a special. In the world of dental insurance, for argument's sake, your insurance goes year to year. Okay, so it's January 31st to December 31st. So basically, I always have all my marketing reps tell their doctors that in October, okay, to send out an email blast and put a pop-up on the website, would you call it, or use it or lose it? What does that mean? Hey guys, you have dental insurance, it runs out December 31st. You don't use it, you lose it. Why don't you come in before the holidays, get a checkup and a cleaning, have those pearly whites for the holidays, use up your 2025 benefits, don't eat until your 2026. And it sounds like it's not a big deal, but I'm going to tell you what happened in my practices. I started doing this between Thanksgiving and New Year's, used to be dead in my office. Once I started doing this really simple technique, December became my biggest hygiene month every single year.
Boom. Sorry, Josh, I got to tell this to my audience. That one strategy, like if there's defined benefits to a lot of these insurance programs and it runs out by the end of the year, by you reminding your insurance-based patients to use the existing benefits that they have, a seasonal flat can become a seasonal peak. That's awesome, Josh.
Game changer. Game changer.
Good. That's powerful stuff. Here's what I heard as well. Instead of abdicating, which is what most doctors do when they hire a marketing company, you're saying delegate and then integrate the advice. And then, you know, Peter Drucker, one of the top management consultants, says, you know, what gets measured gets managed, and you can actually get improvements. You know, it's all about KPIs and metrics. So you want to know the data, because the data drives the decisions, and the decisions get the volume, and the volume gets the revenue and the NOI and gets your exit one day. So that's awesome, man. How do people get to know more about what you offer, this doctor's internet company of yours? And then how can people get into your ecosystem, my friend?
No problem. So first of all, you can certainly email me. Okay. It's jgindea@doctorsinternet.com. The name of my company is doctorsinternet.com, spelled out doctorsinternet. Go to our website, doctorsinternet.com. We'll see all the stuff. You have information, you give free demos. I give a couple of free months at no upfront cost. Again, we've been in all spheres of dental medical. We've been around for 15 years, which, as you know, doesn't sound like it's that long, but in this business, it is that long. As you said before, we've been out there a while. We are a company which is based in New York. We don't outsource that. Another thing, the differentiator between us and everybody else is everybody's in my office. I have a staff of over 60. Everybody has a different skill set, and they're all geniuses. That's very funny, because I talk like I'm the old man. My partner are the old man. Everybody else is in their 30s.
Well, I would have never guessed you're from New York.
Yeah, shocker, I know. It's just, I lecture all over. I lecture all over the country. So I lecture all over the country. So one of the things, I have a big meeting in Boston every year, and I get up and I say, "Listen, guys, I'm from Brooklyn. I'm not from Brookline. So if you don't understand the way I'm speaking, you know, that's
awesome." Guys, this is a powerful conversation I had with Josh. We really went through a lot of cool things, referrals, digital marketing. We talked about if you're hanging up your shingle, what are the first four things to do? Get visible, get online reputation, customer service, and learn to seed the community. And then we've talked about going old school. We talked about really, you know, being good to your patients and really providing that outstanding customer service, but still go high tech with your digital approach. And we know that 80%, you know, organic, 20% marketing really does work. And obviously think about your end game and know where you want to go, because that will help your scaling strategy. And having phenomenal partners like Doctors Internet on your side can help you accelerate the whole process. So with that, Josh, thanks again, my friend. Definitely have to have you back on another episode.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
And for you guys, thanks again for supporting the podcast and the YouTube channel. And until next time, be phenomenal.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Limitless MD. If you found value from this episode, I encourage you to share this episode with a friend and let me know by leaving a review. For more information, make sure you check out the links in the show notes below or simply visit vikramraya.com. Until next time, be phenomenal.